We are joined now by Representative Christy Purcell. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How are you today?
Morning, Richard.
Wait, you know what? I need to push that button. I think I need to push that button, too.
I'm messing you up with my mic choice.
And I actually need you to speak more into the microphone as well.
Okay, this is a
problem. That's good.
This is a problem that we have on my podcast, too. Talk into the mic.
We're going to be a little limited with time today, but I do want to take a couple seconds. Tell us about your podcast.
So I started a podcast 2 years ago with some folks who also came in the legislature with me in 2022, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we were the newest liberals, new libs on the block is the name of our
podcast. I just love that title so much.
Yes, and so we let it rest for a year, and then at the end of 2024... we were like, well, there's a lot to talk about, you know, sort of nationally.
Yeah.
And then it turns out there's a lot to talk about just for the state, too. So we've been doing it at least once a week, sometimes a little bit more when mm-hmm. there's a lot of things happening at the Minnesota legislature.
Where can people find New Libs on the Block?
On all the streaming podcasts.
Okay.
So
Spotify Apple.
And Apple are the two
biggies. A lot of people use Google, too.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, actually.
That's fantastic. Do you don't like post it to your website or anything, do you?
My campaign website?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Or anything.
No. But I do often put it on like my social media.
Of course.
My campaign side.
Yeah.
Social media
okay.
stuff. Although cool. I think I mentioned it on official side too.
You were on the radio talking about it on one of our like 19 shows that we've done with you lately.
Probably.
And my favorite story is that the lieutenant governor wanted to come on, but she thought it was a New Kids on the Block podcast.
And I was like, we can make it that. We can talk about New Kids on the Block if you want, Peggy.
Peggy didn't want to talk about politics. She wanted to talk about Jordan Knight.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about, and we can even connect the New Kids to Minnesota. So I hope that she comes on at some point, and I hope that we can start just doing regular, like, talking about different issues.
Yeah.
But right now it's
wouldn't
just,
that be fun?
I would love that. Normalcy sounds so great.
I have a question that I wrote down from listening to Minnesota News Network yesterday.
Okay, great. Okay. Let's hear it.
And this is a little bit... Let's back up for a second. Just for those of you who aren't paying attention to what's happening in the state capitol, there is an impasse right now on who should be doing what as far as like power sharing goes between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, and it's gotten to the point where the Democrats have not walked into the chamber during the session. It's sort of been described as like the Democrats are on strike right now because it's just not working. There's been court rulings, there's been all kinds of stuff. All right. So yesterday, and there now the Republicans just sued the Republicans, or Republicans just sued the Democrats yesterday, but
the Secretary of State.
Oh, they sued the Secretary of State. Okay. All right. Lisa DeMuth, who is
Damuth.
Okay, thank you. And keep correcting me on that because
sure.
I need to get that right.
Yep.
Lisa Damuth told a reporter, "I don't know what's holding the DFL back from showing up." And she also said that the Democrats leader Melissa Hortman has not reached out to her to have any sort of conversation in the last 24 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you, Representative Christy Purcell, what is holding the DFL back?
The DFL is not holding back. We have now made public the letter and the offer that Melissa Hortman made to Lisa Damuth to meet. Lisa Damuth refused to meet with Melissa Hortman yesterday so that it could be a talking point. Melissa has said today, and she published this letter, I will be in the retiring room at 9 a.m. on Friday, and I hope that you meet me, Lisa, because Lisa has said, well, if there was any meetings, I'll be there. And so we're kind of
calling her out.
Calling that out.
Okay.
Because Melissa Hortman is nothing if not a diplomat. She wants a solution. She wants us to do the work for Minnesotans. I mean, perhaps some would say to a fault, at least on our side, where we're saying we got a court ruling on Friday that said everything that the GOP did for 2 weeks was a sham, was illegal, was unconstitutional. And yet those folks still want the gavel. For me, it feels like, I don't know if you go against the Constitution and our law, feels like maybe you shouldn't get a gavel. And Melissa Hortman is like, I'm going to let someone else deal with that, because what we need to do is move forward. And what we have seen from the other side is an escalation instead of diplomacy, okay, instead of coming to the table. And people keep asking, what's the end game? What's the end game? What's the end game? I don't know what it is at this point for them to do another lawsuit, which first of all is like the question around why? And are you going to abide by this court ruling? Because they seem to really want to pick and choose which court rulings they're going to abide by.
Can you give us some insight? What's at issue here are, well, it should only be one, but there are two seats that are sort of on the Democrat side. One is an empty seat that had to be vacated because the person who won was a DFLer but didn't live in their district, so that election had to be vacated, and there's a special election coming at some point.
Looks like March.
Okay. All right. There's a second seat, Representative Brad Tabke in Shakopee, who won his election. They lost 20 absentee ballots from his district. He won by 14 votes. Mm-hmm. But they've got now signed testimony and affidavits from at least six voters whose ballots were lost that said they voted for Tabke. There's a court ruling that said Tabke won. That's, you know, the GOP is not wanting to seat him. I don't understand that. Okay. What's at issue are these seats, and what's a quorum, and how do we get around this? Can you tell us, because, and I'm asking this question because I heard an answer to this question earlier this week and I kind of lost my mind, and I'm trying really hard to stay as objective in this situation as it possibly can. What have you offered? What has the DFL offered the GOP to go back and get going on everything?
So my understanding, I'm not at the bargaining table, but my understanding and what was made publicly available is an offer that our leader, Melissa Hortman, put on the table, which included very similar to what the Minnesota Senate was doing, mm-hmm, and is doing until their winner of the special election is seated. When you have more people, you get to govern as though you're in the majority. Mm-hmm. A majority, the court ruled on Friday with the Democrats, a majority is 68. Neither party has 68.
Both parties have 67 representatives.
Exactly. And only one party has pretended that they, in fact, are in the majority. Because they have a plurality at the moment, they have 67, and we have 66 because of this vacated seat with the residency challenge. So oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
Okay. So what are you offering?
Oh, so the offer, thank you. So the offer was, when y'all have one more person, y'all act as though you're in charge. You get the speakership, run the floor, run the committees. Mm-hmm. And then if we go back to a tie, if the Democrats win the seat in District 40B in Roseville, then we govern as though we're in a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
You shift to a power-sharing structure.
Exactly. And that has been unacceptable. And
unacceptable to...
To the Republicans.
Why?
That's such a great question. I mean, they want a do-over in this Shakopee race. They lost that election.
Yeah.
And they're unwilling to... promise that they will seat Brad Tabke. And so that has been the sticking point, is, mm-hmm, like, this person won his election and he's the most congratulated member of the House because he won on election night, he won in a recount, and he won according to the courts.
Yeah.
So he deserves to be seated, and that continues to be a no-go.
Okay.
So what we have said, too, is then, okay, Leader Damith, you can have the gavel for 2 years. We don't have to go back to the running the floor, you know, in equal measure. You can have that for 2 years. That offer was made up until noon on January 14th, which was the day that we mm-hmm. gaveled in. Mm-hmm. And they said no. What they wanted was the fake power of being able to run everything without us, which then the court said, nope, all of that was illegal. The House is not organized. The Senate hasn't recognized them as organized. The executive branch has not recognized them mm-hmm. as organized. Now the judicial branch a week ago said, you are not organized. But they liked that better.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for me, it feels really hard for me. If this is part of the agreement that we come to, it's going to be really hard for me to vote for Lisa Damith, who acted unconstitutionally, in my view, knowingly and illegally, for 2 weeks. Going to be hard for me to vote for that person to stand up there for 2 years. But diplomacy is hard. And we have made considerable concessions and literally feels like the bare minimum to be like, how about you let people have their jobs when the people pick them and not let the elected people choose
right.
who's in the House.
Right. Okay. I have to ask you one more question. We are speaking I'll be honest. We're speaking in relatively partisan terms here. I mean, this is a very left leaning conversation that you and I are having.
I mean, I'm a card carrying Democrat
at
this point.
You are indeed. Yeah. You better be. That's how you got elected. Have you had any? And I don't want you to name any names or anything like that. Have you had any kind? Because you are known to work across the aisle quite a bit. Have you had any conversation with any of your Republican colleagues? Can you give us any insight what's being said on because we'd love to have some Republicans come on and talk to us about this. We just don't have any that want to talk to us.
So the conversations that I've had with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been around legislation.
Okay.
Have been around bills mm-hmm. that we have worked together on in the past. We will be working together on in the future. It's just this current moment of uncertainty of like, well, everything is stalled right now. But this is important, and let's keep working on this together. I have left the negotiating to the pros.
Yeah.
Certainly over my pay grade. The letter that Leader Hortman published yesterday suggested to Leader Damith, maybe we bring some other folks into the negotiating room with us,
like arbitration type of stuff.
Right. Well, they've been having mediated.
Okay.
Conversations already, but she suggested some other members of our party. And so she suggested Jamie Long, who was the majority leader for 2 years. Zach Stevenson, who is the chair of Ways and Means.
Yep.
And Aisha Gomez, who is the tax chair.
Sure.
On our side of the aisle. They have been these roles. Mm-hmm. The idea is that they're the mm-hmm. co-chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Leader Hortman saying, please, I encourage you to bring some folks who want to get to a solution.
Yeah.
Not folks who just want to throw bombs.
Right. Right. I guess I was asking you to spill the tea.
Oh, I don't have any tea.
All right.
I don't have any tea.
So there's no, you're not hearing any grumbling on the other side of the aisle about.
Oh, sure.
About the leadership. You know, and
rumors, they're not like firsthand.
Yeah. Frankly, I would expect some grumbling on the Democrat side too about like, can we just get on with this, please?
I mean,
and
we want that.
Yeah, everyone's sick of the politics at this point. I am so sick of the politics in all of this. I could vomit. I'm tired of this. Another question I want to ask you, and I know you've got a lot of notes, and I apologize for this, but I wanted to ask you about legislative days.
Right.
And I actually meant to contact you earlier this week to sort of maybe you could prepare for it a little bit. But there's X amount of legislative days in a 2-year biennium.
Yes.
Right. And there are only so many days in that 2-year that the legislative day is when you meet on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, when the Republicans take the floor, are you burning legislative days?
No.
Okay.
Because we are not organized.
All right.
But what I'm not sure about is the number of Senate legislative days, because they're using their days.
Oh, sure they are.
Because they're organized. They came to a power-sharing agreement. Because, of course, it was the Democrats who had to share power. So we came to that agreement in the Senate. When it's the Republicans who have to share power because they have a temporary majority, that's the difference that we're seeing. But no, we are not using our legislative days.
Okay. Okay. That's good news. With exactly like about 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you like to talk about, Representative?
Okay. Well, I have a long list of the things that I got up to the last week. Attended the water meeting that the League of Women Voters put on Saturday, attended the Clean Water Council on Monday. I visited Sarah's house, which I didn't know there was a house here in Northfield. That's an arm of Ruth's house.
Yeah, it's a recovery house, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to meet the residents and see the house, and it was awesome. Attended the school board meeting, recorded my podcast, met with some of the advocates for a public lands bill that I'm going to bring again. Met some folks from the Reproductive Health Alliance and a food and garden group. This is all on legislation.
Mm-hmm.
We had a health committee caucus. I met with a student from St. Olaf who was interested in trying to save the boundary waters, especially with the only time Minnesota was mentioned in Project 2025 was wanting to open the boundary waters up for mining. So trying to see what the state can do as a backstop. And then this afternoon, the Climate Action Caucus will meet, of which I co-chair. I've been working on bills, and constituent services. And I wanted to mention...
You are the cover girl.
Mm-hmm. I'm a cover girl now, the Northfield Hospital and Clinics, and a lot of folks have reached out. It's been very sweet. People are like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And the story does not specify that the health scare that I had was at the end of 2023.
Yeah.
So this is more than a year in. But I got very amazing care at Northfield Hospital and Clinics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't on my legislative salary. I don't have a lot of money that I can donate to the group that supports our local hospital and clinics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I could do is tell my story about the incredible care that I got from my neighbors, from people who know me,
the life saving,
and know my kids, the life saving care, But now I'm a cover girl because now then this hit the mailboxes, the Northfield Hospital and Clinics.
Look at that $1 million smile right there, man. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Thank you. You know, testimonies are very powerful. So that is a good thing for you to be able to do.
And, you know, it's a pretty personal story, and it was pretty scary. And double kidney failure going into sepsis.
Yeah.
And
that's a little terrifying.
Yeah. But I just want to assure people that I am okay.
Yep.
And that you have seen me and heard me many times since this incident. So I'm back to full strength.
You talked about it a little bit while you're on the campaign trail too, did you not?
Probably. Well,
yeah.
The campaign kickoff event that I had December 10th.
Right.
In 2023.
Yeah.
I got a little teary over at Imminent and just like thanked the doctors and nurses and all the staff, and just because it was really recent that I only afterwards realized sort of how close to not making it I had been. So
I talked to you shortly after you got out of the hospital, and what you told me versus the story I read in the were two completely different things.
Only in time.
Right.
People like, so you were really sick.
You told me you were really sick, but I didn't know you were really sick.
Right.
Yeah.
Typical Midwesterner.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the whole story.
I waited too long. I love your story about I'll just go to bed and I'll wake up
tomorrow.
I'll wake
up, I'll feel better. And my body was like, nope, we're going to wake up and vomit.
Yep.
And that was the thing that I was like, this is not good.
Well, thank you to Northfield Hospital and Clinics.
Thank you to your
neighbors and friends and your mom for taking care of you.
Yeah.
And thank you, Christy, for the incredible work you're continuing to do despite the challenges that are currently facing you.
And we
appreciate it a lot.
Krabby radio host.
Thank you. One thing I want to mention, because I mentioned it last time around, when the Republicans lost their court challenge last week, the money that was allocated in the fake rules committee by Harry Niska to hire his buddies, his law partners, to represent them, So that's all null and void. So the public is not paying for their lawyers.
That's good.
But they continue to use those same lawyers, his cronies, his business partners, for this mm-hmm. new lawsuit, suing Steve Simon for not recognizing them to have a motion to deny us to fine us our legislative pay mm-hmm. for every day that we're not there and prevent us from getting per diem for the next 2 years.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So instead of coming to a solution, they want to punish.
Yeah.
Which is just unfortunately like a little insight into where their head's at.
Yeah.
Representative Christy Purcell, thanks. I hope you come back next week.
I hope
you call us from St. Paul next week is actually what I hope.
Well, typically we don't have floor on Fridays because right. those are in district days, but I'm mm-hmm. I'm open to that.
Yeah.
I'm open to going back.
Good. I'm yeah. glad to hear that.
Would love to be up there, but plan to see you here next week.
Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.